This is Foul Ball Area.
Foul Ball Area.
A special Friday edition bringing you exclusive interviews with baseball figures from around the world.
I don't know if you've seen the story recently that Manny Ramirez was considering coming out of retirement age 114. You know, I was actually the person that broke that story.
While I'm calling the game, news gets out that the NCAA tournament is going to be played in front of no fan. So all of this is happening while I'm on the ACC Network broadcast.
He's super excited for being in the Rays organization, just how there's such an analytical organization, such an organization that puts a precedent on that.
Now, here's today's episode of Foul Ball Area.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Glad to have you with me on this Friday as we bring you another special guest edition of the Foul Ball Area podcast. Every Friday for the past couple of weeks, we've been trying to bring in baseball figures from all walks of life and from all around the world to talk about their experiences in and around baseball. We are continuing that today, but shifting gears a little bit to talk about one of my other big interests. If you listen to the podcast, you should know two things about me. One, that I recently moved to Richmond, Virginia, and two, that I am a big fan of craft beer. So I wanted to try to combine those things and talk about the local beer scene here in the Richmond area, and trying to keep the podcast true to its baseball roots, I thought, what better way to do that than talking to the brewery that brews the official beer for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the minor league team here in Richmond. So that led me to Center of the Universe Brewing, where I was put in contact with Chris Ray, one of the co-founders of the brewery in Ashland, Virginia, just about 15 minutes outside of Richmond. And so I sat down with Chris and talked to him about his journey with Center of the Universe Brewing, becoming a partner with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, and his years as a Major League Baseball relief pitcher. Joining me on today's episode of the podcast is Chris Ray, co-founder of Center of the Universe Brewing in Ashland. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to our conversation here. I think we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about. I want to start with your relationship with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the minor league team here in Richmond, and the Richmond Rally Cap beer that you guys brewed. I actually just tried it for the first time last week at the Diamond. I went to one of their movie nights, and I thought it was a really good beer. I don't usually like fruity beers, but how did that whole collaboration and beer come about?
Sure. Well, my background is in baseball. So I played in the league for almost seven seasons, majority of my career in Baltimore and then Texas, San Francisco, and Seattle. So staying in touch with baseball once I was retired and on my way in the brewing industry, making that connection with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, just made a whole lot of sense. And even though I wasn't actively playing, I was still, a part of baseball. And that was important to me. And the Flying Squirrels do an incredible job at marketing, at community involvement. And so it was just a perfect fit. And, they jumped right into local craft beer just about the time we opened in 2012. So it was just great timing. And then after one season in the books where, looking at their sales and the feedback from their fans, they wanted to jump into craft beer a little bit more. And that's when we came together and originally created a beer called Chin Music, which was a amber lager, and that went for about 6 years. And then this year we were announcing a new beer and releasing it, which is Rally Cap. Unfortunately, without a season, it kind of dampened things a little bit, but we still wanted to go through with the beer and remind folks that the Richmond Flying Squirrels are still here, regardless if they're on the field or not, and we'll certainly be back again.
I thought it was a little bit of an interesting style to have as the official beer of a baseball team. I feel like usually you associate baseball with just like a regular lager or something that's really classic and light. And this grapefruit beer was a little bit different, but it is still very refreshing. And I could see drinking it on a hot summer day watching a baseball game.
Yeah, the Flying Squirrels and our brewery, we don't traditionally stick to norms. And so, we wanted something that just like a lager would be widely approachable to all beer drinkers and something that would just kind of cool you off. I mean, Virginia summers get into the hundreds consistently, and we wanted something that would be nice and refreshing. And, we brewed this beer, and typically shandies are a little bit sweeter, and we really wanted to kind of stay away from that and really dry the beer out so that you had that crisp finish, but also that grapefruit on the end. So, you know, when we were thinking about beer styles, you know, we just kind of landed on this one and it worked for us.
So I want to back up a little bit. You said that you played baseball. Can you just take me through your career and your journey?
Sure. I played college baseball at William & Mary up here in Virginia. That's how I got up here. And then I was drafted in 2003 to Baltimore. And then in 2005, made my debut with the Major League Club and began closing games in 2006 and 2007. And then I was traded in the offseason of 2009, went to Texas, and then was traded to San Francisco. We ended up beating Texas in the World Series that year, which was kind of fun. And then finished up my career in Seattle the next year. So relief pitcher my whole career, you know, spent the majority, as I said, in Baltimore and then bounced around a little bit towards the end.
So how'd you end up back here in Ashland after your playing days were over?
Sure. My wife is from here. You know, it made sense for us, especially with the Baltimore connection of making this our home. It's close enough to go back and forth, for her. And, you know, we like it here. You get all four seasons. I grew up in Florida where you had like 1 1/4 seasons. So it was nice change of pace. And we maintained our home here the entire time during my career. This was always where we would come back to in the off season. And so it just made sense to kind of stay in the area.
So I'm pretty new to the area. I just moved to Richmond last month and I've been to some of the breweries around, but I haven't made my way up to your guys' brewery yet. It's on my list. I want to. As a new customer, what should I expect when I come to Center of the Universe?
So right now, things are obviously a little bit different, but our number one priority is safety here. So we have very strict safety guidelines, and we're kind of known for that in the Richmond area, is that we, you know, we maintain a safe space for our patrons so that regardless of your risk level or your feelings towards the pandemic, you know, you'll feel comfortable being here. But we've got a large indoor facility with plenty of seating. And we also have an outdoor beer garden that has 14 different tables on it. And so, you know, there's a wide array of places you can sit and hide out. And then, you know, we typically have between 15 and 20 different beers on the menu when you come here. So it's a little bit, like I said, different than normal. We do table service. So once you sit down, you can just sit down and relax. Our servers will come around and get your beer orders for you. We've got Freakin' Rican, who's like our resident food provider here, with everything from, you know, Puerto Rican inspired tacos and quesadillas to, you know, traditional hot dogs and hamburgers. So it's, you know, a one-stop shop and we have a good time.
So I saw on your social media that you guys are planning an Oktoberfest celebration. You said, I think, 3 weekends of Oktoberfest celebration.
Right.
Oktoberfest beers are my favorite type of beer. So this is the best time of year, in my opinion, for craft beer. And I know it's a little different with breweries planning their celebrations because of COVID-19 and social distancing, but what are your guys' plans for your Oktoberfest?
Sure. And I echo that sentiment. I could drink Marzen's all year long. I get a little disappointed that I can't do so, but yeah, we traditionally do a 1 weekend kind of blowout Oktoberfest. You know, several thousand people will come through, and clearly that is not a viable option this year. So instead of having that 1 weekend, we're spreading it out over 3. You know, we're going to be adding some additional seating. We're closing down about half our parking lot so we can, you know, maintain social distancing between tables. We're bringing in a secondary food provider that will be doing nothing but bratwurst and sausages. And then we'll also have a beer truck on site so that we're able to keep folks kind of separated from the different areas of where to get beer. But yeah, all of our safety precautions are maintained. They stay in place. But with Oktoberfest and that style of beer being one of our favorites, you know, we couldn't just simply not enjoy, you know, a sausage, a liter of beer, and some Oompa music. So we, you know, decided just to spread it out a little bit.
I'm really glad that you guys are doing something like that, though, and that you make a big deal out of it, because I feel like the Oktoberfest beers are not that popular for craft breweries, just from what I've seen, especially around town. I've tried the one at Star Hill and I've tried Legends, and they're both very good, but a lot of the breweries around here, maybe they just don't have them out yet, or they just don't have them in general. So I am glad to see that you guys are brewing one and are having a big celebration.
Yeah, we've been known for our Oktoberfest for a while now. Like I said, it's one of my favorite beers. And, you know, in craft industry in the whole, you're not going to see a ton of breweries doing lagers. I mean, you're seeing a lot more now. But, you know, to lager a beer, it takes a little bit extra time. And quite frankly, technically speaking, they show a lot of flaws if you don't do them right. You can't just chuck in a whole bunch of hops or a whole bunch of fruit and cover up any issues that might have occurred during fermentation. So it's kind of a risk. You know, you gotta know what you're doing, and you have to execute it the right way. I mean, people kind of, you know, badmouth the large breweries like AB InBev and Sam Adams and folks like that, but they're really good at what they do, which is why they do so many lagers. And, you know, I just, you know, on fall day, I just like the smooth caramel and toasted flavors of those beers. It just pairs perfectly with the weather.
Have you ever been over to Germany and to the real Oktoberfest?
We were actually going to be planning on doing that this year. we have been looking at that for years and years. And then once this hit, it just kind of sank it for us. But, you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to return over there and enjoy their festivities as well.
So whenever I do make it to Center of the Universe and, you know, come into the beer garden or the tasting room, what are the... what are your flagship beers or the ones that I should definitely try?
So the one that we're most known for is Pocahontas. That's our West Coast style IPA. When we opened up back in 2012, there were just a few breweries around, and none of them were really concentrating on that style. And so we were kind of first to market, which, you know, now looking back was just incredible that we were able to fall into that slot, because that's definitely about 40%, 50% of our volume comes from that one beer. So that's definitely a beer to try. Chameleon IPA is another one that's more on the East Coast, a little hazier IPA. We also have a Kolsch, which is our light German ale. It's always available. And then we just recently reformulated and rebranded our Ray Ray's Front Porch Sipa, which is a session IPA. That beer on a hot day is probably my favorite. It's based off the recipe that won the silver medal in the World Beer Cup in 2018 for session beer. It's just well-balanced, easy drinking, provides you with that hop punch, but doesn't kind of knock you over once you're 2 to 3 deep in there.
So you said you guys started back in 2012. Where does that put you in Richmond area breweries? Are you towards the first of the breweries to open or around the middle?
So the first brewery to open was Legend. They're 20, maybe 22 years old now. And then Hardywood opened up about, I think, 6 to 8 months before we did. And then Midnight, as a nano brewery, opened up a couple months after them. So I think we were technically fourth in the Richmond area. I think there's 27 or 30 that are here now. So it's definitely a different atmosphere, different climate than when we first entered into it. But it also kind of pushes us. It pushes us to innovate and perfect our craft. And, you know, as a former athlete, I mean, that's what I'm driven to do. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of good beer in Richmond.
Being in the town of Ashland, a little bit outside of Richmond, how does that change your approach to marketing or trying to reach your audience when there are so many breweries just in the Scott's Addition neighborhood right here in Richmond, all within a 5-minute walk of each other, and then you guys are just a little bit of a drive?
Sure. I mean, it's a definitely a different feel out here than in places like Scott's Addition, but I kind of like where we are. You know, we kind of concentrate our charitable efforts and our giving to those organizations in Hanover County. There's two breweries in Hanover County, us and Origin, which Origin is our research and development brewery. So it's nice to kind of, you know, I don't want to say own the territory, but, you know, we don't have any competitors. We still sell a ton of beer down in Richmond. We get a lot of folks from Richmond that will come right up or right off the interstate. And we found that, you know, beer tourism is a real thing. And when people come from Northern Virginia, we're usually the stop that they make on the way in or the stop they make on the way out. So, you know, positioning wise, you know, we really enjoy where we are. Now, granted, we don't have that foot traffic. You know, we're in an industrial park. People don't go on Saturday or Sunday drives to an industrial park. It's not the most beautiful place in the world. But we do see our fair share of folks that come in from Richmond.
So I know the relationship with alcohol and college athletics is a little trickier, but a lot of college athletic programs are starting to sell beer and wine at their sporting events. You guys are in Ashland, obviously Randolph-Macon is there, and then there's two big universities here in Richmond. Have you looked into partnering with any of them at all, or is that something that you kind of steer away from the college athletics side?
We've had beer at Randolph-Macon when they do their large tailgates and then bring a truck out. We've worked with them. They've been great. We've had our product at VCU a few times. Ever since they remodeled it, it is quite expensive to play in that arena. So we stay away from that aspect of it. But University of Richmond, they typically will do some a couple breweries out there for their tailgates. So you know, we get in when we can, but again, you know, we don't have the finances that a big company like AB InBev has to buy their way into places like the Siegel Center.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'll be making my way up to Center of the Universe sometime soon. I've got to try your Oktoberfest beer, so I look forward to it.
Right on. Well, thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
So that was Chris Ray of Center of the Universe Brewing, one of the co-founders of the brewery in Ashland, Virginia. He's also a former Major League Baseball relief pitcher for the Orioles, Rangers, Giants, and Mariners. Chris was kind enough to lend me a little bit of his time. I know they're very busy up at Center of the Universe preparing for their Oktoberfest celebrations and everything else they have going on at the brewery. I have not been up there yet, but it is at the top of my list. I need to get up there. I'm busy this weekend, but hopefully next weekend I'll be able to get up there, try their Oktoberfest, take in some of their Oktoberfest celebrations, have a couple of bratwursts, listen to some German music, and drink some great beer. I really look forward to making my way up there next weekend. Hopefully I'll be able to get it done. That's all I've got for today's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to tune in on Monday morning as I bring you Mornings with Matt, go over everything that happens over the weekend and get you ready for the week ahead, because we are just over 1 week away from the end of the 2020 MLB regular season. It's almost playoff time. It's exciting. A lot of playoff races still to be determined, especially in the National League. So make sure you keep an eye on that over the weekend and next week. But tune in to Mornings with Matt right here at foulballarea.com or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Monday morning as I bring you up to speed on everything that happens over the weekend. Thanks again to Chris Ray for joining me on today's episode of Foul Ball Area. Thank you all for listening. I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.